What is up? Everyone. It is another day, another time, and another week for your favorite Monday night show. And I'm not talking about Monday Night Football. I'm talking about your favorite show, my favorite show. We'll talk Monday. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the building. I got my sister, my co-host up in the building with me, Miss Tevis. How you doing, sis?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. We got a wonderful guest, which you all will get to meet very shortly, I do promise. But y'all know how we start off We'll Talk Monday. It is not We'll Talk Monday unless we start it off with a little bit of the theme song. As this theme song is playing, I want you to like, I want you to share, I want you to tag. Tell somebody, tell everybody, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your enemy that We'll Talk Monday is on. So let's go. What is up? Everyone. It is another day, another time, and another week for We'll Talk Monday. Let's start it off with a little bit of prayer, and then we're going to jump right in. I'm going to let my sister introduce our lovely guest that we have on here on today. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you have done and all that you are continuing to do for us in our lives. Right now, Lord, we'd ask that you continue to bless us and keep us. Right now, Lord, we'd ask that you move myself and Tevis out of the way and move our guest out of the way and let you get all the glory and everything that we say and everything that we do. These men bless us in your son Christ. Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Tevis, it's on you to introduce our topic and our guest.
All right. So today we are going to talk about the importance of lactation. Happiness is mother's milk. So we have Miss Tyresa Husbands with us today. She is 30 years old. She is originally from Brooklyn, New York, and grew up in Keelan, Texas. She is a lactation counselor. Tyresa has been counseling since 2015 when she was 22 years old and her daughter was 2. She has been counseling professionally since 2020. At that time, she was pregnant with her son. Outside of nursing her 2 children for 2 years apiece, she has served over 50 families over the years. She counsels everyone, of course, but her main focus is Black women, first-time moms, and working moms. So this is Miss Tyresa Husbands. Miss Tyresa, thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
No problem. So as we often say at the beginning, these are our experiences, our knowledge, our research. And so not to overshadow anybody else's experience or their knowledge, but this is us just pouring into other people, women, fathers, families in our community. It's important to me to capitalize on women's health and Black maternal health. And to me, lactation is a part of that. Anything that we can do to create a healthy space for our children, for our babies, and for our mothers. So thank you for being here. And I guess we can get started on these questions.
All right.
Okay. So the first question, tell us why you got started.
What got me started? So I'm one of 5 children. I'm the middle. I have 2 older sisters. And what got me started in doula work would have been my older sister, she gave birth, I believe she was 19. So I had to be about 15 or 16. And I had to be younger than that, actually, when I think back on it. But she gave birth to a baby who did not make it. Mm-hmm. And I could remember the sadness surrounded by the whole situation. And I remember there being no resources. Like, I remember the doctor pretty much telling us, hey, there's nothing we can do. You can hold your baby till your baby dies. And me, my mother, my sister are just looking at each other like, what are we supposed to do with that? Like, my dad was deployed, you know, so we were working with the military hospital, which they're not always so nice anyway. But in this case, they had no resources. Like, I remember them just telling us that and just leaving us with that. And when the baby was actually born, the only thing they offered, the only amount of like softness was, we can call a counselor for you. We can call the chaplain. And we're all looking at each other like, that's it? There's no resources? Like, you're just telling us the baby was born early and that's all we got. Like, there was never a diagnosis. And my sister being so young, mm-hmm. there should have been more information given. There should have been more information given. There should have been some type of counseling offered after the fact. There should have been someone there. My mom didn't know what to do with that. My mom had five pretty much healthy babies. Like, right. you know, we later found out that she had other pregnancies that did not go perfectly like the five of us did. But mm-hmm. we didn't know what to do with that, you know. And there was no doula in the room. There was no offering of anyone to give us anything else. Just, hey, here's a chaplain. They can come up here in a couple hours and the military will pay for you to bury your baby or cremate your baby. So, you know, there was nothing. Like, and I remember my sister coming home, obviously no baby, mm-hmm. and laying on the couch with her breasts swelled to like the size of melons. Mm-hmm. Like, and no one knew what to do with that. All my mom knew, my mom went with the Old Faithful, and it does work. You know, mm-hmm. she's like, hey, here's some cabbage leaves, mm-hmm. here's some peppermint tea, mm-hmm. just do that. And it works, right? But
mm-hmm. the old home remedies.
Yeah, and they work. Like, I hold strong to old remedies. Like, they mm-hmm. work. You know, my mom gave her what she knew, but there should have mm-hmm. been a professional in line somewhere to say, hey, this is normal. Hey, this mm-hmm. is what your body's going to go through as you process mm-hmm. the loss of a child. Your body thinks you've given birth to a healthy mm-hmm. human right here in your face, but you don't have a baby to give any of these things to. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. here's what to expect. Here's a timeline. Here's this. Here's that. There was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what got me on the line of doula work. I had that was really my first, like, first time experiencing being a doula, sitting there consoling my sister, talking to yeah. my sister, asking mm-hmm. my sister questions. Hey, do you need help? What do you need? Are you hungry? Mm-hmm. You know, stuff like that, you know? Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. in my first time realizing that lactation was definitely in my future was when I was pregnant with my daughter. I was 19 and I went on a nosedive into the internet on baby formula. I had to know mm-hmm. everything about it because here I was 19, due to give birth in a few months. I'll be 20 at the time of the birth, but I knew mm-hmm. nothing. Like, I was one mm-hmm. of five kids. I'm the middle kid. I knew I wasn't breastfed. That's what I knew. You know,
right.
I knew I'd never seen my mother breastfeed. Mm-hmm. I knew that much. That's all I knew. The only mm-hmm. time I had ever seen breastfeeding was my sister, my oldest sister, had mm-hmm. breastfed her infant for like 6 weeks in the very beginning. And I remember she hated it. Like, I remember seeing her complain the whole time. And for me, I had made the conscious decision that I was going to breastfeed immediately. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't have anything else to fall back on. I didn't buy mm-hmm. formula as a fallback plan. I didn't do any of that. I had no experience, but that's what I knew. And what held me strong to it, even before I tried it, was me going on a nosedive to figuring out what was in formula, how formula got started, how we even got to the point of mass producing it. You know, because there was a time where you needed a prescription from your doctor to get
mm-hmm.
formula.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. so that's pretty much where I got started with doula work and lactation work.
Lactation. Okay. James, are you going to ask questions or are you giving this?
I can ask some questions.
Okay.
One question that I have, which isn't on the questions list, but mm-hmm. it's something that we have seen a lot on social media where a woman is breastfeeding in public and how they are shaming them for doing that. Why do you think that is? And do you feel like it's because of lack of knowledge of what is going on? Or
oh, absolutely. Lack of knowledge is going to fail us in a lot of areas. It is lack of knowledge because it is just eating. When we stop over-sexualizing women's bodies, like in this capacity, especially in this capacity, you will realize that is just an infant feeding. That's just an infant eating. As the same as if you saw a dog in the corner breastfeeding their baby. It's the same as when you walk past a farm and you see a little cow trying to latch onto their mom while their mom's walking. It's all the same thing, you know? And I was one of those people that breastfed without a cover, and it made a lot of my family members uncomfortable. I'm not covering a child's head to eat. That's insane. You know what I mean? Because you don't cover your head to eat. None of us walk around with a blanket draped over us to eat. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's in public with mayonnaise dripping down our faces. You know? So it's lack of knowledge. It's over-sexualizing. It's looking at women's breasts as a sexual object versus a bottle, an infant bottle. That's essentially what they are.
That, and I like how you said you made that point in saying when we eat, we don't cover our heads. That's a fact.
We drink, we don't cover our heads. You know?
And if people would get out of their mind that they're seeing a woman's breast instead of a baby nurturing, a baby feeding, a baby's bottle per se, then it wouldn't be, like you said, over-sexualized. So that is a very good way to put that. Thank you for saying that. Go ahead.
There are discreet ways to breastfeed in public without your whole breast out.
Right.
But in the case that you do see a breast, especially with a baby attached to it, I'm not really sure where sex is even brought to your mind. You know what I mean? And also, let me add that if a baby is latched properly, you're not seeing any breast, any nipple.
Right.
All you're seeing is a breast.
What people see in bathing suits, pretty much.
You're not seeing anything but the back of a head.
You're right.
So, what's the problem? Why are you staring so hard? You know what I mean? There's so many things. Right. Just like you're taught not to stare when you see a special needs baby, you don't stare when you see a breastfeeding baby. They're eating.
Right.
They're not doing anything out of the norm.
Right.
So.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah. I had to ask that question.
No, you're good. I'm glad you asked because it's a question. It's always asked.
Yeah. Right. With your sister, did she go into postpartum or anything of that sort? From what maybe you didn't know what it would have been then, but if you reflect back down and look, do you feel like she experienced any of that?
Absolutely. I think a lot of confusion. Like
and she was a baby still, really.
She was a baby. She was a baby and the whole situation was wild, you know. You're being told that you're in preterm labor. Your baby will be born breathing and alive with their little fingers and their toes and all the things, but your baby's going to die. Like, that's a lot to take in at 16 years old.
Right.
And I remember her being definitely different after that. I wish I would ask her today, actually, how that affected her.
Right.
So
that's great. It's great that you realized it, of course, and it's great that we have words and help for that now, right?
Yeah.
So that's a thing now. So when you graduated from high school, or as you were graduating from high school, what were your plans? What did you want to do? What did you think you were
gonna
do?
My plan was to go to Texas Southern University for nursing. And I was my specialty was going to be cardiology.
Okay.
That's where I plan to be.
Well, you're still kind of somewhat in the medical field, just on a different
level. I don't think I'll ever not be. I'm going to start paramedic school at some point. So I think I'll always be
in that field. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. Did you ever imagine or think that you would be doing this?
No, I was never one of those little girls that played with dolls and fantasized about babies, and I never named all my children. Never did any of that. So no.
James, do you have anything? I can't hear you.
I can hear you, Tevis.
Yep, yep. My mic was muted. I was trying to tell you your mic was muted and mine was. Okay. All right. I got you. I can ask the next question.
Okay.
So, what should women that's mothers know about breastfeeding? And what are the benefits? And what are the benefits can most babies nurse even if they're special needs? That's like a three-part question.
Okay.
So why should women breastfeed? Why should women breastfeed? And yeah, that's the first question.
That's a big one. Okay, so it's a superfood. It's like the most dense smoothie, the most dense herbal blend that you can come up with. It's genetically designed for your child. Like every time saliva meets nipple, it is programming your body to produce exactly what your baby needs at any given time. And it's changing at any given time. You know, it has different antibodies, different nutrients in it at any given time throughout the day. It's also proven that milk that's produced in the evening hours has a natural form of melatonin in it. So it's forever changing. Why not use it, right? Like we're always trying to make babies super healthy. Oh, I want to give them this special formula. I want to give them special vitamins and things like that to make sure my baby's super healthy. I want to feed them all organic food. Why not start from the jump?
Right.
You know what I mean? That's the best, the most organic food you're going to find on the planet. Mm-hmm. So people are paying for this stuff on the black market. It's outrageous.
Right. Oh, yeah. When I was working my certification to become a birth doula, one of the ladies there says that she actually stores milk. And, you know, for women that may, for some reason, can't nurse or, you know, it's taking a little longer for their milk to come through. So she does it to support. It goes through a process, you know, she makes sure it's safe and all that stuff. Yeah, she's 100%, I have to say.
She's an actual wet nurse.
Yes. So it goes through.
She's
all the
like an official.
Yeah.
Government's radar wet nurse.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. That's awesome.
She has a whole, I mean, she's farm living life and it's just, like the whole thing. Yeah. But yeah, so she, and I was like, oh, is that a thing? That's like really
the
thing?
You know, selling it by the ounce.
Yeah, it is a thing. So I thought that was very interesting. Share with us some of the benefits for the baby when a mother breastfeeds.
Well, I'm sorry, that was where I started. So it's a superfood. It's going to give the baby everything they need, every time they need it, when they need it.
For moms,
it definitely helps with recovering faster after birth, after labor. What people don't know, and a lot of people won't tell you, is those first initial latches in the beginning, you're going to experience contractions as if like you're in some stage of labor. Mm-hmm. It's contracting the uterus to get it right back into shape to prevent uterine bleeding, hemorrhages, and all the things. Mm-hmm. It also lowers your risk if you breastfeed. It lowers your risk of cervical cancer, breast cancer. Mm-hmm. I believe type 2 diabetes? Mm-hmm. Type 2 diabetes, and it lowers your blood pressure, all the things.
So for like example, you know, and I guess I should have maybe been more specific. When I was nursing my daughter, who's now 16, you know, I would hear how, as far as the intelligence, it would help with that. It would help with lessening the ear infections. It would lessen the some of the other like common childhood. Can you speak on any of that?
I know for a fact, I'll say from experience with my own children, my daughter is 10.
Mm-hmm.
She's had the flu twice in her life. Mm-hmm. And she recovers ridiculously fast. Mm-hmm. I almost never know she's sick until like the bitter end of the daggone flu.
Mm-hmm.
She's hardly ever sick at all. You know, we all got COVID. I got COVID right after my son was born. Lost my sister's face. His dad got COVID. My niece got COVID twice. We were all living in the same environment. My daughter did not get one symptom. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that was about. I'm not gonna, you know, they tell
me. Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. She had breast milk for 2 years of her life. Okay. Like, mm-hmm. Straight from the tap for 2 complete years.
Right.
And I see the benefits every day. Like, mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. the way she's just witty, you know, it's just yeah. the way her brain works. It's just mm-hmm. different. Her yeah. health off the charts, like mm-hmm. her recovery off the charts. She never seems to be sick. She never seems to be affected by anything, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I say breast milk does make their body, it just mm-hmm. designs the body differently. What we don't realize yeah. is that first milk that we put into our intestines is mm-hmm. we're coating our intestines with everything we need. Mm-hmm. We also don't note the gut to be as important as it actually is. Mm-hmm. And if you start your gut healthy, it's your second brain. You start mm-hmm. your gut healthy, you can beat a lot of these illnesses. It's where your immune system lives. Mm-hmm. So what you put in your gut matters.
Right. So, I agree. And I've seen that, you know, and the intelligence part with my daughter, you know, she was 3 reading and tying her shoes with no problem. I'll never put her shoes. Never put her shoes on the wrong feet ever in life. Never did she mm-hmm. do that. Just always sharp and on top of it. And her sickness has been slim to none. And if yeah. it is, it may peek through just a tad bit.
It just
but
peaks
it's
just
not,
a little bit. It
yeah,
just lets us
but
know
it's
it
never,
was here.
Right.
Lets you know her yeah. antibodies did their job and right. she's done, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, wow. I'll even go a step further and note that I nursed 2 children 2 years apiece, but my mm-hmm. son got more bottles than my daughter did. My daughter to this day is 10 years old, has never had a single cavity.
Wow.
My son is wow. 3. He has the ones that line your gums mm-hmm. from drinking, from cups mm-hmm. and bottles and things mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. That's another thing yeah. I'm constantly telling moms. If you can go without a bottle, just go without it.
Yeah. yeah.
If we can move straight to cups, go without it. It will ruin your teeth. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It does mm-hmm. affect the teeth. I believe people that are bottle fed are more prone to mm-hmm. cavities and oral infections altogether. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Throat
yeah.
infections, strep throat, all the mm-hmm. things.
Wow. Yeah.
I did not know yeah. all this came from breastfeeding.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a lot of these things we weren't dealing with years ago because we were skipping a lot of steps. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I tell moms, yes, breast milk is breast milk, but breast milk from the source is different, is going to be a little different. And I mm-hmm. quote that because it's still a superfood. Mm-hmm. But without that saliva connection, mm-hmm. your body is not producing the milk as magically, I think mm-hmm. is the best way to put it, as right. it would if it's meeting the saliva. Because yeah. say my daughter had the flu. I had the flu. And I'm breathing on my daughter, talking to my daughter, doing all the things. She is going to get the flu at some mm-hmm. point because I'm passing it to her. But mm-hmm. as I'm passing it to her, she's connecting to my body saying, hey, I got a little bit of mom sickness. Can you go ahead and send me some antibodies, please? Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. how that works. And I'm not yeah. saying that the milk won't make the antibodies regardless, but it has to go through an extra step of mm-hmm. waiting for it to get through mom's body where her body's producing the antibodies. She's then pumping it out and feeding it to mom, to baby. Mm-hmm. That's a mm-hmm. different connection. It's there. Right. It's there and it's still just as important, mm-hmm. but it's not the same. Yeah, skipping yeah. saliva, the saliva is so important.
I agree. Yeah. Can most babies nurse even if there are some type of special needs at birth? And I know it probably would depend on the special need, of course.
Yeah.
But have you seen or dealt with, in your experience, anything that would hinder the baby from nursing? Whether it's special needs or something with the mom, just... anything.
Yeah, I have not had to directly deal with anything. I know there was one client I had that was referred through another doula here in town, and the mom had a heart problem. So we were concerned that the overexertion that it takes to produce milk could mm-hmm. hinder her production because it's exhausting.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then I know that they were talking of there being a chance that the baby also had this same heart defect. Mm. And while you would think, okay, it's a heart defect, she's fine. You have to breathe. You know,
yeah, for sure.
being latched
for sure.
is breathing. And what yeah. people don't realize is it's a job on both mm-hmm. parties to, mm-hmm. to breastfeed. You
right.
know what I mean? It's work. Mm-hmm. So, no, there are very few actual diagnoses that will stop you from being able to breastfeed. Because even mm-hmm. babies with cleft palates.
I was going to say that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. They have different ways. Obviously, if it's a short enough or a low enough palate, mm-hmm. cleft, you know, you can just latch anyway.
Yeah.
The problem will come is when the cleft and the is all the way up to here because it's been split. And right. There's no way to seal around the breast. Mm-hmm. But they have special feeding mechanisms for cleft palate babies to where they can still latch, but it's like a special little feeding tube that feeds back into the baby's mouth and it attaches to the mom's areola.
Okay.
So the baby is able to get it back here and the milk, it's like a feeding system. So the mom would technically pump the milk out, put it in a bottle. She would attach it to her areola. So baby recognizes what it means to latch and how to latch, but the milk was pumped already into a bottle. So it's being fed through like a feeding tube, but it's coming through the breast, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, I get it.
There we go. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I believe they do that because they want the baby to understand how to latch before they fix the palate so that when they fix the cleft,
it won't
when they fix the cleft, it won't be too much of an issue trying to get the baby to learn to latch again.
For sure.
So, yeah, because I don't think we understand what a cleft palate is either. It's actually a cut in your hard palate all the way through the top of your mouth.
Right.
And it's split in the lip, and then there's a separation to the roof of your mouth, pretty much.
Right. Yeah.
And that you can't latch like that, not efficiently.
Yeah.
So, you have to, you'll be a pumping mom until they fix it at that point.
Yeah, and I heard you say that your baby girl never had a bottle. So with me, because I knew that I was going back to work, I did, and I think this is one of the questions, I think the first three, because I was about at that time, I think we could be off work 6 weeks. The first 3 weeks, I did just breast, right? And then after the last 3 weeks, I started doing breast only at night and giving her a bottle the day because I knew that she was going to have to go to childcare, right? Mm-hmm. And I've heard horror stories of babies not feeding, using a bottle the whole day, and then mom would get to the childcare program and have to just nurse immediately because sometimes the babies will go all day and not eat, right? Because they never adjust to the
bottle. I always prepare moms for that. So let me back up. I did give my daughter bottles. She just had way less bottles than my son.
Yes. Okay.
So my son started going into care at about 6 months old. My daughter had an at-home care situation off and on for a few months. And then she went into daycare at 11 months.
Okay.
And so my son's never been to daycare yet. He's almost four, maybe four in October. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a day. But, you know, my daughter, we ended up going from trying different bottles. She cried bloody murder the first couple of times I left her without milk. And I would have to latch her immediately. Mm-hmm. But that's also what I explained to mothers. When you're going through these changes to where you're going back to work and doing all these things, it's best to feed that baby as soon as you see them.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how you keep your supply up. That's what we don't realize. You know what I mean?
Oh, so it's supply and demand, really. And your boobs respond to the cry. Your boobs respond to the cry like a mug. I remember I was so amazed at the hardening so fast when my parents kept her for a quick second and I was so amazed. I was like, Dad, touch, like the top of my back. Like I was just amazed because it hardened so bad that I'm like, okay, I got to nurse you. We can't go anywhere. I have to nurse you right now. You know what I'm saying? So I had a friend who nursed both of her children, maybe a couple of years like yourself, but she would never try to do the bottle at all. So of course, as soon as she got to daycare, she would have to stop and nurse, you know, before she could even get in the car, you know. So
see, which is always nothing tell them wrong that. With it.
Nothing's wrong with that. My concern was the baby being upset during the day, not feeding at all. But I mean,
so that's another thing that we never talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Bottle feeding a breastfed baby is literally just a snack.
Mm-hmm.
You're never trying to fill them up the same way you do when you latch because they're not looking for that. They know it's not their source. They're just getting, they literally just want just enough in their stomach to hold them until mom gets back. And they're going to do that at each feeding. You know what I mean? They're going to take just enough. Like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring you 2 ounces, 3 ounces. Mm-hmm. And when my mom gets here, I'm going to scream again because that's what I want.
Right.
That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And, I think that's another problem we run into with moms often when it comes to pumping. They're wanting to measure their production by what the pump is telling them they make. That's not how breastfeeding works. That's not how that goes. Like, breastfeeding is so much nature that the way your baby can efficiently get milk out of the breast will never be the same as the pump. Your baby mm-hmm. will always be more efficient. Mm-hmm. You can't see it, you can't measure it, but your baby mm-hmm. will always be more efficient. Mm-hmm. And if the pump is telling you to, but your baby is completely satisfied and milk drunk after each feeding, trust mm-hmm. and believe the two or more that your breast is giving that baby mm-hmm. is enough.
Right.
You know,
right.
So
yeah. And like I said, I think my daughter did pretty well with it because I started her early. It's mm-hmm. you know, it's like a body clock. She knew at night, in the evenings, it was nothing but mommy's boob. And during the day when she was with at the daycare, she was going to have to take the bottle, right? And so she never really skipped a beat with it. And I'm not, every kid, every child, every situation is different, but that was for us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what worked for us, right? But yeah, it is. It can be a challenge and hard for all parties, for sure.
We make our most milk at night. So I always tell moms, actually, like, if you're going to skip a feeding, a latch, skip it during mm-hmm. the day. Mm-hmm. Like, eat at night. Get up mm-hmm. and feed at night. Feed mm-hmm. through the night if you have to. That's what's going to keep your milk up. Those night feedings are going to keep your milk producing for way longer.
Yeah. I believe that. How soon after birth should a mom start nursing? Talk about the golden hour.
Immediately. Like, if there are no complications, hand me my baby, please. Thank mm-hmm. you. you know. And mm-hmm. try to initiate a latch immediately.
Right.
I usually tell moms to just kind of hold your baby close and just, you know, mm-hmm. talk to your baby, kiss your baby. Mm-hmm. And if your baby starts to do a lot of wiggling, mm-hmm. they're moving around and they're, mm-hmm. you know, they're looking for their boob.
They're looking for their milk.
You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Most babies are not born hungry, mm-hmm. but they will be hungry soon, within the hour or hours or whatever. Give them time though. So I always tell them, hold your baby, wait till your baby starts doing all that wiggling, mm-hmm. they start talking to you, mm-hmm. all the things, and then put them close to your breast.
Mm-hmm.
Just put them close and let's see what happens. If your baby mm-hmm. starts rooting, they start looking over, trying mm-hmm. to latch, trying to find the areola. All right, let's go ahead and try. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's do it before they're screaming at us. Mm-hmm. But let's do this. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
But trying to force a latch immediately, I try not to.
Right, for sure.
Because some babies are born really tired. Like, especially if mm-hmm. you had an epidural or any type of pain meds, mm-hmm. anything. Your baby's tired. Just give your baby a minute. You know, they mm-hmm. may actually need a nap.
for sure. And, you know, so talk about the golden hour. You know, that's those first 2 hours after delivery. Like you said, as long as everything is good. One of the things that I learned while I was pregnant and going through my prenatal classes and everything, they showed us a baby, a mother that had an epidural sooner than later versus a baby that did not, right? So a lot of people don't realize that depending on how soon, and of course, every situation is different. Everybody's different. I keep saying that because I need people to know that may not be your story just because it's somebody else's story, right?
That's okay.
Right. So, you know, and so this person had gotten an epidural, so it kind of had time to kind of get to the baby, right? Versus the mother that went all natural. So when they put both babies on mom's chest right after birth, the baby whose mother didn't have an epidural, you know, it was all natural. That baby was, like you said, was squiggly, whining, oozing its way down mm-hmm. to the mom's tube, was ready, right? I was in labor for 23 hours, all natural. My girl knows she was hungry when she was ready to get out. So it didn't take her.
But I worked no for time. Mine.
Right. It didn't take her no time to latch at all, right? But two, that was the thing. And it was hard. I didn't really have anyone there to teach me how to latch correctly. So I used during the whole year and couple few months that Medela breast nipple, the Ooh. Plastic nipple. I used that the whole time because I could not. I
Get
wasn't
the latch
taught.
Right.
I wasn't taught how to do it, but I knew that I wanted her to nurse. And she did. She was on the boob. We had that nipple. And I tell you what, I lost that nipple one time and I called my dad. I was like, you have to go and get this nipple for me from Target because the hospital gave it to me, you know. And months later, I found it in the garbage disposal. But anyway, I got another one. But that was my lifesaver during nursing, my nursing time. But again, my boobs never got. My nipple never got like firm enough or tough enough, but it wasn't really about that. It was about the fact that I didn't know how to latch her correctly. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
So
correct.
It took me anyway.
Almost 2 months. We used nipple shields, nipple. Mm-hmm. I ended up using this nipple cone thing that I love. I mean, mm-hmm. I love it. It because if you have a flatter nipple, that's another reason. Another reason it'll be hard to latch. Mm-hmm. And I spent the first month crying in pain, knowing mm-hmm. I wanted to nurse my baby, mm-hmm. but there was no one to help me figure mm-hmm. out why our latch wasn't right. Mm-hmm. I ended up going on a hunt, and I ended up at Tacoma General out in Tacoma, Washington. And this older lady, she was a lactation counselor there, and she was like, "It's because you have flat nipples, honey." Like, so casually. And I'm just like, mm-hmm. thanks. But what does that mean?
Right.
What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
So she gives me the rundown on how to, you know, what to expect, how to go about it, all the things. And after another month, it was a couple weeks,
mm-hmm.
I finally got it. Mm-hmm. We finally got rid of all the additives. Because I'm telling you, I even gave her a few ounces of formula. I remember mm-hmm. one night was so terrible. Mm-hmm. And I got a baby syringe, the little syringes mm-hmm. that come home with you from the hospital, mm-hmm. pulled some formula out and literally fed it to her through a syringe. Yeah. I was like, I didn't want her to have a bottle because I know mm-hmm. that would confuse her.
Right. But
we're going to figure this out.
Yeah.
So, but your nipple shield is actually what helped your daughter not get confused because she mm-hmm. was already accustomed to that nipple.
Yeah.
Nipple shield. So bottle right. was almost like, nah, yeah. my God.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're right about yeah. that. So it was an easy peasy for me. So yeah. So that was good. So there is support, there is temporary help, and my nurse knew that I wanted to breastfeed because I got emotional, like, you know, and she was like, "I have something for you. They don't always recommend this, but there's mommies like you that come in and I know how bad you want it. So let me give you this, you know, this." It was a Leela breast nipple.
That I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know, the top yeah. of it was still out, so the lips could still touch my skin. So the top mm-hmm. part of it was cut mm-hmm. out, the bottom part, so it could still have that skin to skin on my breast. So yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. So anyway, I was blessed. So she hung on. We did it. We made it a year and a couple months, you know, with that. Awesome. But you know, with the shield. Anyway,
that's yes. awesome.
Yeah, we did.
That's a lot.
We did.
That's great. I love that.
Do you want to ask a question, James? Number four.
Yeah, I can do it. Okay. Before we do it, let's look at some of these comments. So,
yes, for sure.
I like Carlos, this one right here.
Yeah. Why aren't mothers to be told about the 1/16-inch shrinkage of your nipples when your real milk comes in? Are you familiar with that?
Are you saying like when your milk comes in, your nipple gets shorter?
I'm not sure. We'll let her respond.
Yeah, because I haven't really.
So while we're waiting on a response to that,
Tevis, all natural. I knew respect for you, girl. Natural. And her daddy betted me and didn't think I could do it, and I did, not because of bet, because I wasn't even thinking about no bet when I was in labor. But I knew that's what I wanted. I knew that I wanted to have a natural birth, 100%. I wish that I could have done things differently by way of. I wish that I knew that I didn't have to be laying on my back the whole time. I could have been up and walking and mobile as long as I didn't have any drugs or epidural. You know what I'm saying? So some of the things that I've learned since I've become a doula, I wish that I knew then. But anyway, that's the way I can help other people now, you know, in that support. So yes. And then you popped another one up. That's one of the reasons why Tevis is my Shiro. Thank you, girl. I'll be trying. Okay. James,
while we're waiting on that response, yeah, I got mm-hmm. y'all. Number four, how can you tell if your baby is full and hungry? How can you tell the difference between a full baby and a hungry baby?
Well, a starving baby is going to cry and scream at you, okay? And it's going to be a cry from the pits of their belly that makes everybody miserable. They're going to be, you know, opening and closing their hands, kissing, kind of rooting at you with their mouth, turning their head towards their breast. Honestly, if you're holding them upright, they will try to throw their body weight towards where their food is. Mm-hmm. If they hear mom, they'll start kind of crying a little. Not, you know, it doesn't always start out loud, but they'll start making noises that mom will recognize. And just all that, the squirming, the rooting, the reaching, the root, you know, all those things. And mm-hmm. it's also important to leave your baby's hands without gloves. You know those little mittens we use to stop them from scratching themselves? You want to be able to see your baby's hands. You want your baby to be able to grab at you. You want those things. So, and then a fed baby is calm. Mm-hmm. A fed baby will unlatch themselves from the breast. A fed baby usually pees a lot. You know, if your baby's sad, you'll know your baby's being fed a lot and properly when they're soaking diapers regularly and pooping regularly and all those things.
I'll go with number five if you want.
Okay, go ahead.
Is it true that when your baby cries, your breast will respond? Talk about the supply and demand.
Yes. And we honestly, you know, it's not just your baby. Like if you're a breastfeeding mom and you're in the thick of breastfeeding, your body responds to almost every baby that's crying. And that tells you that we used to all share milk back way when, you know. Your body's responding to the random baby crying in Target. And it won't always be like that, you know, not for all women. Some women feel it for a long time. Some of us only feel it in the thick of our breastfeeding journey, which is, you know, newborn through, say, 4 or 5 months. That's when we're like, oh, my God, like, whose baby's crying? You know, things like that. But, yeah, it's true. It's true. The body does that. And supply and demand, your body's only going to make what you use. So what we don't realize is if we don't use our milk, our body produces this protein. If the body, if the milk stays in the body too long without being used, your body starts producing this protein that pretty much builds up in the body as it registers that you're not using the milk, and it'll dry your milk out.
Usually
when moms come to me and say my milk just dried up, I'm like, no, you got to give me the rundown. Tell me
right.
At some point you stop doing something, and I need to know where you stop doing it and for how long you stop doing it.
How important is schedule and routine once the baby is born?
It's not important. It is not important. It's not more important than you sleeping. It's not more important than you eating. It's not more important than baby eating. It's not more important than baby sleeping. When I get clients who love cat routines and love to plan and things like that, I try to support them, give them something to plan, but we're going to plan for rest. We're going to plan to make the best out of your postpartum. We're not going to rush you. We're not going to stick you with this crazy schedule that's going to have you more stressed out than you should be, or anything like that. So yeah, there's not much you can plan. Eat, drink, sleep, repeat.
And so those next weeks, months are so important for a woman to rest and have as much support, hands-on support as she can for her and the baby. The rest is important. Of course, babies are gonna sleep, but I was very in tune with my baby, even when she was in my womb. And I tell some parents, some mothers, if you pay attention to when your baby is active in your stomach, those are the hours they're going to be active when they come out, right? And I know it's different from everybody, but a lot of the women that I have worked with, talked with, they have started being in tune with that and noticed that, you know, it may not be to the T, but it may be around that time. So I say that to say that Ava put herself on a schedule, right? It was almost just natural. I listened to her, right? I listened to her, figured out what she needed and wanted and the times and the frequency. And that's how I plan my day, because I am a scheduled person, right? I am a scheduled person, but we know at any time with babies, things could change, right?
Things change.
As a teacher, as an educator, that is just something that I know, will always know, and that's just what it is. However, when you listen to your baby and their needs, you fall into their schedule. And that to me will make life a little less stressed, because then you can know when you're going to be able to rest. And y'all's body clocks will start matching, actually.
Absolutely.
So for the people that likes schedules, be in tune with your baby's schedule, right? For those that don't really need a schedule, just roll with the flow.
And essentially, you being in tune with your baby is going with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's going with the flow. Like,
yeah.
Taking time to just inhale, exhale. What does mm-hmm. my baby need from me right mm-hmm. now? I don't care what they need from me the next hour or 3 hours from now. Mm-hmm. What do they need from me right now? And what do right. I need for myself?
Right.
And right. When you start thinking of your postpartum period like that in moments versus trying to plan out a whole 3 or 4 days,
mm-hmm.
it goes a lot smoother. Stop. Don't mm-hmm. think about the next feeding. Let's think about what we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. Right now at 2 o'clock, what are we doing?
Right.
Okay. Your baby fed from whichever breast, because I never tell you, you don't even have to clock that. Just do what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. I just need to know if your baby ate long enough. Did you feel mm-hmm. relaxed after the baby mm-hmm. ate? Did you drink something? Did you have a snack?
Mm-hmm.
Are you tired? If you're, oh, but I have to do laundry. No, you don't. Mm-hmm. We're going to sit down. That's what we're going to do. Like, right. we're going to sit down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I hear so many of these young mothers talk about the apps on their phones and documenting this and making sure. I don't say much because I hear it on my little part-time job, and I'm thinking, you guys,
you're not about to stress me with an app. Okay?
Yeah, it's too much.
So they program
at the feedings and you know all of that.
I can't.
What happened to let it happen naturally?
Every time I've had a mom use one and they're like, well, my baby skipped the feeding at this time. And I'm just like,
okay,
I'm sorry. Are you okay?
Right,
if something hurts, if nothing hurts, we're just going to go in and wait for the next feeding.
Right. Exactly.
Skip it, baby. Right. Are you sure? Are my breasts going to be uneven? Absolutely. You're breastfeeding. You're going to have uneven breasts. There's no app that's going to stop you from having uneven breasts.
Not at all.
And when you stop breastfeeding, you're going to very much notice which breast was your baby's favorite.
Right, exactly.
Just where you are.
That is a fact.
Welcome to motherhood. You know?
Exactly.
That's the welcome right there. When you wake up one day and you realize one breast is never going to be that size again.
That's all I got for you. Yeah.
They're like, how important is rotating? How important do you want it to be? You know, we can rotate because there are women that breastfeed from one breast for the whole time they breastfeed.
Right.
So what do you want to do? You know, what are you comfortable doing?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in the beginning we rotate, right? We rotate usually in the first 3 or 4 weeks. I usually, hey, make sure you're rotating so that your body's getting the message evenly that we need.
Right.
More. Okay. Mm-hmm. But after that, if your baby is pitching a fit every time you get on your left breast and you can only get them to latch on the left breast 3 times, but on the right side, the baby is breastfeeding 8 times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Looks like we got a happy baby right here. So
exactly. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Yeah, you know. For sure.
But if you want to even it out, go ahead, girl. Right, left, right, left, left, right, right. I don't care. Do it.
That's be happy. True. Just
notate it. Let me know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, James, you want to ask a question, some of the dad questions?
These are actually my favorite questions.
Hmm?
Okay.
These are actually my favorite questions.
The dad questions?
Oh, yeah, because dads be like, well, what am I supposed to do?
Right.
Because even though I do not have a child right now, these are some questions that I know I'll be asking in the future. How can a father be helpful during the time?
Okay. Mom has to eat. Mom is supplying baby with every meal that they need right now. Mom has to eat. We can go get mom some food. We can bring mom water, because every time mom is latching a baby, someone needs to be handing her some type of water, some type of hydration drink. She needs to be hydrated because she is giving out way more than she's putting in. Mm-hmm. Have you made sure, asked her if she peed today? Hey, when's the last time you went to the bathroom? We're watching baby's pee, but we're not watching yours. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, baby mom, because she's babying a baby right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is your job for like 6 to 8 weeks. Baby mom, so she's able to baby.
Mm-hmm.
And she's able to stay in tune with her child. Make sure she's eating. Make sure she's sleeping. You know, ask her personal questions. Hey, anything going on? Like, do we need to call a doctor? How you feeling down there? Is everything healing properly? Anything hurt? Things like that. Ask her questions. Hey, do you need a foot rub? Foot rubs, you know. Change baby's diaper. Like, after mom latches baby, hand baby over to somebody else. They can change the diaper. They can put the baby to sleep. And you can go right to sleep. You don't have to do all of these steps. your only job, that the only job you have that no one can do as mom is breastfeed the baby. Mm. Every other job is genderless, and honestly, anyone can do it. Mm-hmm. They can, like I said, change diapers. They can burp baby. They can put baby to sleep. They can start the washing machine. They can start the dishwasher. They can put a meal on the stove. They can order food. They can order groceries. They can take care of the other ones. Like, yes, there's plenty for you to do.
For sure. For sure. Do dads... Oh, go ahead, Jane.
Go, Tippets, go.
Are you sure?
Yeah, go.
Do dads feel left out because the baby is nursing with mom and not using a bottle?
I've had some clients have this conversation with me, and I gave them that same conversation I just gave you guys. I know that feeding, especially in the Black community, right? Feeding is the way we bond, okay? Like, if we can't feed you, we feel like we don't love you.
Right.
And I always have to explain to grandmas. Grandmas are usually a little harder than dads, you know? Mm-hmm. Dad is usually like, well, I guess I could do some laundry. You know, I could change the paper. Grandma's like, but I want to feed the baby. But you can change a diaper, Grandma. So I can take a nap, and then you can hold the baby till I wake up. Like, that's even better. You know what I mean? Things like that. But dads sometimes do feel left out. I've had a small group of guys that kind of look really sad when they're like, so the baby's never going to use a bottle, so I can never feed them. I'm like, I mean, but you can hold them. Like, there's nothing. You just won't have a bottle in your hand. It's the same thing, you know? So I always have that conversation. They usually realize, okay, maybe we have overthought this baby feeding situation. There are 1,000 ways to bond with an infant.
Right.
Lots of skin to skin from dad is important, you know?
Yes. Hey,
let me feed baby and pass them over and let dad rest with the baby on their chest. It's super important.
Yeah, I agree. And that kind of leads to that next question, because we was asking about the nursing and the bottle. And if a mother wants, I mean, it sounds like you're like, do the breast the whole time. But if it's okay, at what point should you start sharing the bottle and the breast?
So I'm not anti-bottle. I actually love a good bottle. Okay.
Okay.
But I think we bottle too soon. Mm-hmm. If you don't have, we pump too soon. Let me not say we bottle too soon. We're pumping too soon. Unless there is a reason, like you're trying to start labor or something like that, there's no reason for you to be pumping in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
The milk, the little bit of colostrum you're getting is all your baby needs right now. Just be patient.
Right.
When your baby is born, their stomach is the size of a quarter. Mm-hmm. A quarter.
Mm-hmm.
That little bit of colostrum you're producing at each feeding is more than enough.
Right.
Feed the baby, let the baby pee, start over. You know what I mean? But can we do both? Absolutely. But I don't recommend bottle feeding until after the 6-week mark.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 6 weeks of a successful breastfeeding, like where there have been no big issues. You know what I mean? And I only suggest that because that gives you time to bond with your baby. That gives your baby time to get to know your breast. That gives your breast and your body and yourself time to get to know your baby. We don't want any interruptions in that time.
Right.
You know what I mean? And if you're not going back to work, say for 13 weeks.
Right.
We don't really need a pump until like 9 weeks.
That's
when we start. I always ask them, if you're going back to work, we'll start pumping 2 weeks before you're due back.
Right.
That's it. Stop stressing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to come up with a pumping schedule. You know what I mean? Right. Like we're going to do that. So yeah, if you're going back to work 2 weeks prior, if you're not going back to work and you just want to stash, after six weeks, pump like once a day. And that little bit of milk, pump, put it in your freezer.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what? I forgot to touch on this. What we don't recognize is baby boys. When they're born, I'm not anti-circumcision. My son was circumcised. But circumcision at birth, I don't recommend that happening.
Interesting. Why?
Yeah, because how do you learn to breastfeed when your penis hurts?
Mm.
Like, you know what I mean? And if you think about the way we hold babies when they're born, we're holding them like this. We're squeezing their legs together. We're doing all the things. You're asking a brand new baby boy to first be born, which is a rough shoot down. You know what I mean? Then he's coming out. You're asking him to learn how to breastfeed because he is learning. And by the way, I'm going to cut your penis before you leave the hospital. Go ahead and do that. And then mom's going to have to do all the things and still teach you how to breastfeed in those first
Interesting.
That's a lot.
I've never heard anybody say that. It is a lot. That's like stress and anxiety so fast.
A lot of baby boys are less likely to make it through that breastfeeding part in the beginning.
Because of all that.
Well, I'm going to say that from my personal. I'll have to look it up later to get actual real live numbers mm-hmm. on it. But mm-hmm. I can see why a baby boy wants to quit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. No, the healing process isn't super long. None of that. But it hurts. I'm mm-hmm. already in pain. They're giving mm-hmm. mom pain meds when she leaves the hospital now, right? They give mm-hmm. babies numbing cream, I believe, when they leave. Mm-hmm. My son was circumcised weeks later somewhere mm-hmm. else by a pediatric urologist. Mm-hmm. I went to a specialist to cut my son's penis.
Mm-hmm.
And our breastfeeding journey was very smooth, uninterrupted, mm-hmm. great. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I recommend that if you are having a baby boy, to give the circumcision in the hospital a second guess. Mm-hmm. Like, question it a little bit. If you can wait, schedule it later with a pediatric urologist, later down the line, a few weeks down the line, 2 or 3 weeks after they're born, really 3 to 4 weeks after they're born is fine. Mm-hmm. If, as long as your breastfeeding is going fine.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, and obviously mm-hmm. before they're 6 months old, I don't recommend waiting if you don't want to any longer.
Right. Right.
But, you know, I think waiting will give you a better chance at long-term success. Not saying it's impossible. It is not impossible. Right. We have seen circumcised little boys, circumcised at birth little boys breastfeed successfully for years.
Yeah. No problem.
Right. Yeah. But if you're going to do it, there's really no reason to do it in hospital except for convenience. Have it researched a little bit. Find mm-hmm. your pediatric urologist that's willing to do it after the baby's born. Mm-hmm. Give you and your baby time to adjust being here together.
Mm-hmm.
And then go ahead and have a circumcision done after the breastfeeding is established.
Right.
You're out of that peak of postpartum period and mm-hmm. all the things. So
right. That makes sense. I mean that's something to just share with a new mom and
research
and like, talk and ask questions. For sure. Absolutely.
I also got to hold my child while he was circumcised. Mm-hmm. I didn't mm-hmm. have to send him back to a random room where I couldn't be present.
Right.
I got to be there, watch the doctor do what they were going to do.
Ooh.
And hold my child.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was important to me.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and then we waited weeks into it. I wanted to make sure that there were no complications with his breastfeeding before mm-hmm. I did anything else to him.
Yeah.
So, So
Carla sent me a message, Ms. Fields, in response. She was saying, my daughter latched easy at the hospital and I had a lactation coach. On day 4, she wasn't eating. I luckily had formula to feed her and got in to see the coach on Friday. She checked my breasts and they were not hard and my daughter's sucking motion was fine. That's when she explained the 1/16th shrinkage of the nipple. More or less, the nipple was not hitting the roof of the mouth in the same spot as normal, so my daughter didn't feel like she was eating. Have you heard of that?
Heard of it, but not explained that way. And she made it sound a little more complicated than it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Your baby just stopped opening their mouth all the way. It's a shallow latch they develop a couple days after birth. I don't mm-hmm. know why they do it, but babies do it. In the hospital, they're like, they're getting it all in there. By mm-hmm. the time you get them home, they start doing this. And then they mm-hmm. start itching off. And then by day 5, you're like, my baby's not latching. My nipples hurt, everything hurts. It's because they get, mm-hmm. I don't want to downgrade what you said, but they almost get lazy when they get home. Yeah, your nipples mm-hmm. shrink a little because they're not pulling on them, but mm-hmm. it just needs to be a deeper latch established again and reestablish mm-hmm. it every time. If you mm-hmm. latch your baby and you realize that it's not looking right, it doesn't feel right, the lips are not flanged out properly, unlatch baby, start over.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing mm-hmm. it until the baby realizes, okay, I've really got to open my mouth and get mom's nipple to the back of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. yeah, I understand what you're saying. I do understand. Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. I've heard that, and I think as I think back to when I was nursing Ava, I do believe that was part of the thing that she wasn't latching completely on, right? It was more so she just kind of was a little bit, but it would slide mm-hmm. down and then it would hurt. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It'd be so uncomfortable. So she wasn't opening her mouth wide enough
absolutely.
To go
And we don't realize that we kind of have to guide our breast into their
breast.
Yes. It looks real rough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
But we've got to do a lot of maneuvering and guiding, and it kind of looks rough. And if you've never done it before, or no, there's no one there to show you repeatedly, you are afraid of hurting your baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're afraid of hurting your baby. You're afraid you're not doing it right. You're afraid you're doing too much or not enough. Right. So I'm glad you had that coach to tell you about the 1/16th rule, though. That's a deeper way of explaining a shallow latch. But
Good. That's good. Is there a certain time frame where a woman should breastfeed?
Explain that question.
What just do you mean? Like, you know, is there a minimum? If you can't take it, is there a minimum time?
If or you absolutely
how,
just
how long is too long?
If you just don't want to do it, I don't force moms to breastfeed for any time frame. Get the colostrum out. You know, that's like the first couple of days. That's three or 4 days of constant latching, though. Excuse me. And I usually try to get them through the colostrum because, honestly, if you get through the colostrum, you're going to get through the first couple of days of the full milk coming in. And then I can usually inch you on a little more. But if you're firm on stopping, I literally be like, we're going to stop. We're not going to cause you any emotional turmoil.
Right.
We're going to go ahead and stop.
That's good. That's good.
And as long as you want to go, really. Teeth is not a reason to stop. If your baby's latched properly, you will not feel any teeth at any time. Unless your baby is just thinking it's funny and they're going to bite you if they want to.
That was my thing. That was my thing. I was like, I do not want the teeth to come in. And I just could not take it.
I remember being afraid of my daughter's teeth. And I have a few times where I feel like she did it on purpose, where she thought it was a game. She would like kind of hold my boob and look at me and go, and pretend she was going to bite me. And it was a game. It was a
game.
And I have a video I recently found of my son where he's latching and he's just janking me back and forth like this. Just dragging me back and forth. And then he's dragging me back and forth and then he clamps down and you hear me yell out in the video and I'm like, why did you do that? And he breaks into laughter. So they're not ever going to bite you by accident unless they fall asleep. If they bite you, it is normally going to be a game to them. And they don't mean it. You just explain to them it's a no-no and that hurts. And we go from there.
Okay. I know my friend was like, girl, he done named it. He's got a booby. This is his booby, mommy. Oh, no. It's time for him to come off of that boob, girl. He's calling it booby.
You know what?
And but I guess, I mean, go ahead.
We do that a lot to our poor babies, but that shows how smart they are.
Yeah, for sure.
You're smart enough to develop language for your food. You know what I mean? That's a big deal. We need to give them their kudos. Like, you named your food.
Yeah,
like,
that's
super smart. That shows intelligence.
That is true. That is true. Well, we are at our 8 o'clock time, and the last few questions we've kind of answered those. Just within the other questions, what are there any good tools or strategies that and advice that you would give moms that are pregnant and thinking about breastfeeding?
Take a prenatal class. Phone a friend. Phone your grandma. Find out about. Find out. Ask your mother if she breastfed you. Ask your peers. Ask your family members who may or may not have breastfed. Ask them why they did and why they didn't. It helped me a lot to know the people around me. My grandmother breastfed, my mother did not. My siblings tried, to know all those things and know their why. So take a prenatal class and gather some history. You know, your best friends, your aunties and grandmothers, ask questions.
Right. Okay. Do you feel like this came easy for you learning about? It came easy for you. Good.
Absolutely. Lactation is, I guess, what people would call a passion for me. It just kind of flows for me. Learning the sciences behind it, like the 1/16th rule and things like that, are fun because I get to apply them to knowledge that I already have and things like that. So, it comes natural, but learning the science behind it is
important. It's pretty cool.
It's super important.
Have you developed or created anything new during your time and experience as, you know, being a lactation specialist and a doula?
I'm currently working on a prenatal class of my own. Yay. An in-person one. Yeah, working on that. I work with two doulas here in town, Tansy over at Birth Manifesta and Kim with Massages by Kim. She's a massage doula and she's amazing.
Oh, I need her information for my client then. So that's great.
She's the best. They are determined to get me out of my little shell and things like that. So yeah, they're there. So you'll see more of me.
Yeah, for sure. I hope so. So tell people how to reach you or how to find you.
I have a business social media, but I'll give you guys my personal Instagram and you can reach out to me there. It's REESAHSAYS. And that's on Instagram. You can email me at DOITWITHSELAH@gmail.com.
Okay.
Or just send me a text message, which is fine.
Okay. And I'm going to have you to repeat it again. James, you type it in. Is that it? Can you see?
Yes. That's it.
Okay. And you gave your email. Was the other one?
Yeah.
Your email?
Hold on. I'm going to.
Yeah. Give me that one more time.
I'm typing it right now.
Thank you.
No problem.
Because we want to make sure that people can get in contact with you. Mm-hmm. We definitely want that. Because you gave us some great information today.
Absolutely. And
we loved every minute of it. We thank you for this information. Sure. Because in our community, especially the African-American community, it isn't talked about. We talk about it like it's a bad thing. So I appreciate you for coming on here and giving us this information. And shout out to Tevis for even coming up with the idea of having this discussion tonight. And we appreciate you all. And we definitely appreciate it. We definitely will be having you back.
Well, I'm glad. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Like I said, being a Women's Health Month and Doula Week, and I, again, try to do as much as I can to educate all women and definitely the women in the Black and Brown community. There's a stigma, you know, that is almost goes back in almost an epigenetics way about, you know, mother's breastfeeding. You know, my grandmother breastfed. My mother did not breastfeed. I did. My mom was kind of like, you're going to breastfeed? You're going to make your boobs ugly. I don't care. I'm still going to do it.
It started with slavery. And then it kind of became a thing again in the late 80s, early 90s, where it was a class thing. Like, only poor people breastfed. You know, things like that. And for us, you know, for us as Black people, we were always trying to blend with the other.
Right,
you know,
right,
and the other had money for formula. The other had money for a wet nurse.
Exactly.
We were the wet nurse.
Yes, yes. And that's what I was going to
say. We were the wet nurse for a lot of people. So
that's what I was going to say.
It was passed down mentally that I don't want to do this because I was not able to breastfeed my own child. And I had to breastfeed such and such's baby, you know, for whatever reason, while I left my child at home to be breastfed by someone else or to ultimately starve if we go back to slavery.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of mental turmoil there with Black people breastfeeding and Black women with our bodies, period.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when have our bodies ever belonged to us?
That's right.
You know what I mean? Yep. So it goes back pretty far.
Yeah. And that's why I said it's, you know, it goes back to the epigenetics and the mind frame and the mentality and the things that we had to go through with our bodies. And,
absolutely.
You know, like, it runs deep. But at the end of the day, when we can move past that, it is such a blessing in so many ways for mother and child. And this has just been great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because as I said, as I'm stepping in and getting my experience and learning more, and I just want to become stronger in this as well so I can continue to support and help my mothers. And this has been great. This has been great. Everybody knows how to reach you, so hopefully you will get some calls and more business. Not that you need it, but I know it's always a good to have a little list.
Taking more
clients right
now, so we're good. Yeah.
Right. So thank you again. Please reach out to Ms. Husbands if you all need her, Tyresa Husbands, and she can help you in whatever her capacity is. James, thank you for allowing me to always come up with these different topics and educate and inform our community. And again, just thank you. As I always say,
You all know how to reach me on my social media, my Instagram and my Facebook, Savette Empowerment Coaching and Consulting. And as I always say, lead with love and grace and life will be wonderful.
Yeah, y'all definitely tune in to the podcast. It drops tomorrow at midnight. It'll be dropping at 12 midnight on every major podcast station. Definitely tune into that. Keep looking out for some great things that are coming up. The month of April, we are taking a month off in April. One thing that I have learned with dealing with Tevis and Daisy and the other women of my podcast that I deal with, they let me know, look, I know your mentality is all gas, no brakes, but yo, we got to slow down. We need to take a break. We need to take a break. So I am listening to them as well as listening to my body as well.
Absolutely.
Month of April, we're going to take a little break and we will be back. But definitely tune in. We have some great things coming for y'all. As I always say, sometimes our disappointments are nothing more than God's appointments, meaning some things that we look at as bad, God is only turning it around for our good. Stay blessed, be blessed, and be a blessing to someone else. Love y'all. Peace.
Bye.
Bye.